welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. Would you like to hear some stories from that? Look at this. I've got a whole bunch of little stories here, just that some of the cards that have been handed in of what people said. Because this will inspire us. I was privileged to drive James Maloney back to Heathrow on Tuesday, James and John. So I got to spend a lot of time in the car with him, and most of the journey he didn't stop talking, which was really interesting and exciting. And sometimes in the run-up to this and talking about James coming, you've heard me say about how he really believes this is a significant area and God wants to move significantly. And I must admit, occasionally there would just be a moment, a measure of doubt go through. You think, am I actually overemphasizing this too much? You know, is it just that he comes here and like... But I can tell you, having sat with him in the car, it's not at all. If anything, he underemphasizes it. It is that he believes God is moving here and is going to move greater. If you're interested in what he sees God doing more, listen to that talk when he talked about the sons of God. All right, because that's the significant thing. He talked about it kind of twice in the very opening evening, as Jared so amusingly picked up on with his opening welcoming story of being translated and all of us going. But he then follows up that lot more. I can't remember when, but one of his other talks where he talks more about what that meant and ministering as a son of God, because we are the sons of God and creation has been groaning and waiting for us to be revealed. It's not new. We know we're in Christ and we know Christ is in us. But what is new is a measure of revelation of, oh. And that oh is people seeing Jesus in us. So much so that sometimes they just see Jesus completely. And then you can see how that's a walk of humility, because it means you're not going to get any of the credit for the good stuff. But that's exactly what it's supposed to be like, isn't it? It's him. It's always him. And when we take credit, we just start to shut down what God is doing. Yeah? So I've got some here. Maybe we'll just see if there's any others in the room that I haven't got a card for, or I haven't brought the card for, and you want to add to afterwards. So if you've got a bit of a story from the weekend, not necessarily healing, of course, and you just want to quickly summarize what God did, you're welcome to do that when I've finished in a minute. It'd be good to hear that. So let's hear what God did, because already, for me, it's like, yeah, that's where we're going, that's what's coming. Wow, it's all planned. You know, even this 15 is planned. We've never been that well planned, really. We've had dates before. It's the 29th to the 31st of May next year, but we even know that Paul and Sue Manwaring are being here, and Clive Urquhart will be speaking, and Paul Abel, and of course Dr. James is coming back. So that's going to be significant. Why is it significant? Because I want people to fall in love with Jesus. We want Jesus to be famous, and that's how God uses that kind of an event. What I'm going to speak about in a little bit this morning is taking hold of some of what God's done and rooting it in a reality so that we don't just go, wow, and then wait for the next big one, even though we're waiting for the next big one. It's like, what do we do in between? You know? Anyway, here's some stories then from this 14. I'll just read them as written. So this is just what people have written down in their experience. Last night, I was healed of fibromyalgia, cysts, and internal bleeding. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's only worth a little clap, that one. Teasing. This is slightly different, but I just felt, well, yeah, I'll read that one because we talk about healed of fibromyalgia. Then just, Paul, I just wanted to say thank you for your openness and honesty when you spoke about doubt yesterday. It was a great message that inspired courage. Yeah, that's as miraculous as the healings, because if someone's feeling courageous because they've received from God's word, wow. I think that whole message of doubt, I mean, you've heard me speak on it a lot recently, but it's so freeing, isn't it? It just sets us free from all that, have I got enough faith? Because the answer is yes, I have. Doesn't matter about the doubt. Well, it's not that it doesn't matter, but it's not going to hold me back. I just got to do it. This they did and then. James Maloney caught out a lady with swollen lymph nodes and it's gone into the breast and she's in pain. Well, I had a biopsy, mammogram, ultrasound on Thursday, 14th of May. The surgeon's prognosis was not good. I came believing God for a healing, and when James prayed for me, the pain went and so did the lumps. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So no doctor's report, but the praying going and the lumps going. That's a good sign, isn't it? At the end of today's session, Paul said to anyone who wanted prayer for healing, the team was available in the corner. My hip was still sore, even though I believe God had touched me in the other meeting during worship. Brian and his wife, I presume that's you two, prayed for all pain to leave, and it went into my knee. Come on, guys, get it sorted. So they told the pain to leave, and it did. Good. I felt heat from the top of my head go right through me. And this afternoon, I walked up many steps. It's great. Praise God. Healed. Amen. It's nice when you get the cards that were where someone was healed in the previous meeting, and then in a subsequent meeting, they've gone out and done stuff that they couldn't do before. That's just awesome, isn't it? I had severe nerve pain that came in episodes. It was all over my body. It led to me living in fear, not knowing when the next episode would be. Saturday night, I knew it was my night. Dr. James prayed for me. It was like an electric shock. I could feel it leaving through my feet. I felt so different. It's like a weight has been lifted. I am healed. Thank you, Jesus. I spoke to that young lady, whose card that is, and that really, to be honest, is only half of it. You know, when you read it there in cold blood, I suppose almost, I feel so different. It's like a weight has been, she was so different. And as she described, just how awesome it was feeling so healthy. You know, because she's carried that for so long. It had become part of who she was. She just lived with pain and then it wasn't there. Hallelujah. We want more of that, don't we? My back was healed. I felt it pop back into place. I now have a full range of movement that I didn't have before. Are you encouraged by all of this? The difference these days is, you know, even a couple of years back, we'd be reading these thinking, wow, that's awesome. Can't wait for the next conference. I think what God is doing in us is that we now know we can see this all the time. You know? We can see this all the time, and we're all called to be part of this. It's just doing it and seeing them. And the more we do it, the more we'll see. You know, we just get better. I like this one. I've read this one before. Feel, it really says, on top of the world. Come on, that's good. The Lord laid his hand on me, healed my back and stomach from having two stones removed. So, praise God. For a long time now, I've suffered from severe pain in both my feet. At night time, it was very aggressive. After receiving prayer, the pain has gone, and all I have left is a little tenderness in my heel. Well, Father, thank you that even that is gone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For 9 months, I had tendonitis as a result of an accident. Every morning I would be in agonizing pain in my heels. After responding to a word of knowledge, I woke up the following morning pain-free. Do you want some more? I have several health problems. Last night I joined the queue for prayer for healing. Dr. James Maloney prayed for my thyroid gland. I felt a sudden momentary heat in my throat, very quick. I'm believing that God has touched my thyroid and all the other health issues as well. A complete overhaul. I feel very well today, better than I've felt in a long time. Hallelujah. I went to Dr. James with an irregular heartbeat. You'll remember this one. He put my hand on my chest and my feet were swept away from under me. They dragged me away by my feet. The symptoms have eased, and I'm trusting God for a complete healing. Father, we thank you for the dragging. We thank you for the complete healing. Amen. Oh, Dr. James, you do make us nervous. Anyway, lump on the side of the neck gone, filled out neck on the left side by my windpipe where a golf ball size goiter and thyroid had been removed last year. So she lost the lump on one side that she did have, and then the side that was all sunk in has now recovered. Amazing, 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 amazing. My right side leg is a lot better. The swelling in my foot has now gone. My breathing is marvellous. It's not so painful to walk, and I don't have to use my inhalers all the time for breathing. Thank you. Hallelujah. I have suffered with pain for some time as I walked or went up and down stairs, and very limited movement in my left knee. As Pastor Paul mentioned, pain in the right knee, I came forward anyway. And God has healed me. I can now bend my knee without any pain. God is awesome. Hallelujah. I don't know if that's the lady that, or there's another one that's similar about the right knee. Let's have a look at this one. I've been a born again Christian for 40 years and finally believe in the healing power of Jesus. And that he comes to earth for that very reason. You have to save us from ourselves and bring us into his kingdom and give us eternal life. What a saviour. In the service this morning, the Lord healed my right knee and foot. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted to encourage Paul Abel in his ministry and all other Christians who have yet to see healing. Pain went away and I felt like Jesus was changing everything. Wow. Amen. Isn't that interesting, though? That was really the lady that the word was for. That lady came forward anyway and still got healed because she came forward in faith. You know, don't worry about the word being too specific. If it's about there, just go anyway. You don't even really need a word, do you? It was that lady that I met then later. That was Saturday morning. She'd responded to the word. And she was telling me how she'd felt the bones or something in her knee sort of moving around and going into place. And that's when the pain all disappeared. But she was telling me this story. So that was in the morning. And she was telling me this story in the evening after the evening, Saturday evening meeting. And I said to her, but you've still got a stick. Why have you still got a stick? And she said, oh, because I've got arthritis all over my body. I said, oh, so are you in pain now? She said, oh, yes. My knee's better, though. And I said, well, if God can heal your knee, he can heal all, can't he? I mean, she was probably about 75. And at the time, James had been talking about keeping it simple. You know, and so I thought, well, I'll keep it simple. So I did ask her to hold my hands. It seemed appropriate. So I held her hands and said, it was something I can't quite remember, but it was very, very simple, just like, be healed. I might have said, pain, go, but I can't remember now. But and she sort of looked surprised, and she said, the pain's all gone. And it was really lovely on Sunday night then, because I like the stories where there's a little bit of follow-up as well, you know, to see her walk in on Sunday night with no stick and a huge smile on her face. And so what God had done. Friday, yesterday, I fell badly, suspected fracture in the left ankle. Something about I couldn't walk on it. Several had prayed before the meeting, but then I responded to Jared's call about a hurt ankle. He prayed. I felt in faith. Should have read this one first, shouldn't I? Tonight the pain has gone enough to walk, even though a bit of swelling remains. Praise God. He said it was an outward sign of eternal walk. He was healing over this weekend. Actually, I saw that lady later. She was completely healed later on. I know, recognize the name. The Lord has healed my kidneys. Don't know what was wrong with them or how she knows, but she knows. Yeah. Amen. Feel at peace and healed. Dislocated shoulder a couple of times, very painful and noisy joint. But it feels fine now, and I spent all the evening with my arms in the air. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's good stuff there, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. So you have an event like that and you think, well, how do you speak following that? Well, I'm not going to speak for long. I just asked the Lord that very question. And he just gave me a few things. It began on Thursday night, actually. Here, I used a psalm that he'd spoken to me from, Psalm 63. If you want to turn to it, if you've got a Bible with you. And at first when I read it, you might think, well, why on earth would you read that at this stage after what God's just done? Because it starts off, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So that's how it starts. And you sort of think, well, why on earth would you, you know, turn to that psalm when you've just seen God moving? You know, it doesn't feel dry and weary at all. You know, I'm not particularly thirsty. You know, I've seen God move. I'm excited. I've felt the presence of God this morning. So why turn to this psalm right now? And the reason we're turning to this psalm right now is because this is a word that is just one of wisdom from God. Because when God moves like he has done and he's going to continue to do, and it's only set to increase, we need to be careful we don't get caught up in the miracles so much and the healings that we forget that we're called to follow Jesus. You know, and it's that relationship with him that's so important. When you have great meetings, and we do have some great times with God, Sunday mornings, Thursday nights, it can be sometimes very easy to neglect that seeking of him as individuals. And every one of us, it's really essential that we really pursue him. Because if we don't, you're going to get tired and weary, even though good stuff is happening. And that, for you, as an individual, if we get tired and weary when good stuff is happening, gets very confusing, because you sort of think, well, there's all this stuff happening, why do I feel so ugh? Well, the medicine is a dose of Jesus. But it's that individual relationship with him. So that's why this comes in. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. It's that seeking of him. Not just, you know, meeting with God in church, but putting aside time to seek him and meet with him. You know, this isn't a glory message. This isn't a I'm healed of fibromyalgia message. This is just an ordinary Christian message. Meet with God. You say, well, why then have you got about the dry and weary land where there is no water? Because that is the state of our nation. It is a dry and weary land spiritually. And there is a lack of water. And we've got to make sure we've got some big water carriers. Or at least that we're like a hose pipe, you know? And our sense of not being dry and weary comes, you see, from that encounter with God. The land is dry and weary because it doesn't know Jesus. And it seems like almost all the time it feels like a nation is moving further and further away. I'm not actually sure that's true, because some of it is just removing a layer of hypocrisy. So in some ways we're getting closer and closer to actually showing what it's like underneath. So therefore, the nation is getting closer to God because it's coming to a point where there will be repentance because they've not been inoculated by a sense of false Christianity. So don't get too discouraged when you think everything's getting worse. It's not. God's just preparing people for repentance. You know, it's like the old story of how do you boil a frog? You know, you put him in cut. You just do it very gently so he doesn't notice it's getting hot, you know? And Christianity can be a little bit like that. It can just keep you comfortable, you know, even though it's going to get boiling. And you don't notice because you just get comfortable with this little bit of prayer in schools and this little bit of blessing here and this little bit of Jesus is Lord. And we still sing hymns and we're a Christian country. And actually what happens is you get inoculated against the real message of the gospel, which is, come on, turn around, come and follow Jesus. The kingdom of God is at hand to change this. So the country isn't going further away from God. What's just happening is layers are being revealed. It's actually getting closer. We're just seeing the reality rather than a veneer. So that's quite exciting, actually, isn't it? So we're in a dry and weary land. Now, verse 2, you see, actually says what we experience. I have seen you in the sanctuary, and behold your power and glory. So you see, David isn't really saying, oh, it's just dry and weary and I'm all there. He's saying it's dry and weary. He's actually in the desert of Judea at the moment, so it's physically dry when he writes this psalm. But he's saying, I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and your glory. And everybody who's part of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, we haven't seen it in its fullness, don't get me wrong. But we have seen in the sanctuary his power and his glory. Yeah? So, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. So I've seen God move. I'm going to seek him because my lips, your love is better than life. So I'm making the decision that my lips will glorify you. Yeah, I'm going to praise him regardless of what I feel like. Going back to Saturday morning, if you were there, this they did and then Jesus. You see, that's what seeking God and prayer and individual relationship with him is all about. It's this they did and then Jesus. I mean, the whole message of the sons of God is on one level completely new and on the other, nothing new. We know that we're in Christ. We know that Christ is in us, those that have been around a little while. It's a basic, really, room 101 revelation of what it is to be a Christian, that Christ lives in us and we live in Christ. But the revelation of the sons of God was that Christ lives in us and we live in Christ. It's not just something we say, but there is a reality of it. Such a reality that when we're walking in what we believe, people can even see Jesus. Be expectant of that time when you reach out your hand and you think, that doesn't look like my hand. Or when people look at you with a sense of incredible awe and wonder because they're not seeing your face, they're seeing Jesus. Now Bill's got a story of how that happened to him at this, when you went to James, didn't you? And you saw, what he saw was Jesus looking at him as James turned to him. Wrecked him a bit because of just the love. And that is what's happening amongst us, and it's going to increase. We're part of the initial thing, and then in 2005, at 15, even more. Exciting stuff. But if we're moving into the exciting stuff, we mustn't just get so caught up in the excitement that we forget. Earnestly, I seek you. So, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I will remember you. I will think of you through all the watches of the night. It's about our relationship with Jesus being as natural and as normal as breathing. That he is part of everything we are and everything we do. Sometimes the danger of that is you find yourself doing things and you think, oh, if Jesus is sat next to me, I'm not sure I should be doing this. But actually, that's a bonus. Because you are my help, I will sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. There's this pressing in, touching hold, having a relationship with Jesus. Yeah? Amen. Now, let's look at a New Testament example of the same thing then. Luke 4, we're going to. Verse 40. So, when the sun was setting, as we pick up in this section, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness. And laying his hands on each one, he healed them. It's another example of all who came to Jesus were healed. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. A certain irony here that the demonic knew who he was and yet the crowds were confused. Why does he shut them up? Because the testimony of the Son of God is not to come from darkness. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place, and Mark adds, to pray. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching and traveling throughout the synagogues of Judea. So, it's a very simple example. Jesus is caught up in a massive healing crusade, really. All these people are getting saved. And Jesus would have been just like his disciples. He was fully God, but he was fully man. And he would, because his heart was to see people touched, and he would have been as excited as they were just to see all these people being set free. Don't think Jesus would have thought, oh, I've done enough here. He loved it. He would have stayed. You see, the glory time, there's been a glory time, it's been an amazing time, but Jesus knows that that means he's got to keep his relationship with the Father right at the front, because he's got to be doing what God wants him to do. And he goes away, he gets some time alone, which if you read through the Gospels, you see it was his regular practice just to get him and God. Sometimes he shared it with a few disciples to show them what they would need to do. But he gets away with God, and he hears the voice of God. So that the following morning, everybody that's seen God move knows exactly what God's going to do next. Because you would, wouldn't you? You think, well, last night all these people got healed. Day two, it's only going to get better. You know, and they're trying to say to Jesus, what on earth are you leaving for? Now, if Jesus hadn't spent time with the Father, he wouldn't have known what was next. You'd just get carried in with all the miracles and the event. And imagine if they'd just set up a whole healing crusade and people came and probably many people got healed. And that's what they did. But never moved. There would be no Gospels. God's plan was so much more. This was just a part of it. And Jesus knew. And if he'd carried on doing that, I guess the whole team would have slowly just been exhausted. Because they would have stepped outside of flowing in God and doing what the Spirit wanted. He needed to know what God wanted, and he needed that time alone with God. Now, depending on where you are at in your life's journey, it can be easier or harder to get time alone with God. If you've got toddlers that you're looking after, it can be more difficult. But there are ways, and you can plan ways just to get, and even when you're just snatching time, is creating awareness of God's presence. When I was in primary school teaching, God spoke to me, this is a long time ago now, but he said, you always leave me at the door when you're at work. I want to be in the classroom with you. And it was like, I got 35 individual personalities demanding my attention. You know, I haven't really got time to be praying and seeking God. And God just really said to me, well, try it. And what I did there was not, this wasn't about taking extra time in the morning. This was just in my workplace with 35 individual personalities all demanding my attention, was to constantly just remind myself, maybe as another child wanted a maths problem sorted, was, thank you, Jesus, you're with me. I didn't pray out loud, but just I started to cultivate an awareness that God was with me. I practiced, if you like, being in his presence, because it's so easy sort of to do life and then I'll have, and in fact you can do that, even be having really good quiet times, but then you don't take the Lord with you, as it were. Actually, he goes with you, but that's another story. Throughout the whole day, it's just your prayer life is all the time. That's why Paul said pray continuously. It's not that we're going to be walking around the streets of Scarborough doing this, ooh-la, ooh-la. You know, but there's a sense of when you're walking the streets of Hummanby or Driffield or wherever you're from today, it's like, yeah, God's with me. You can imagine him walking next to you. That's great. Or sometimes I just think and know that God is filling me at that moment, you know. And in that way, even within the classroom, I used to, as the children were coming in the classroom, just be in awareness that as the children were coming in, the presence of God was coming in. You know, we had a good classroom. And yeah, it was interesting how, because you did that, you started to see things happen in kids' lives because the presence of God was there. You know, and you can do that wherever you are. And however difficult the circumstances you're in, there's just a reminder of that Jesus is with me. If you can snatch moments where you can literally just think, thank you. You know, physically just, I like to imagine I'm just being filled, because you are. But to me, just to see it, you know, you are being constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. So I just sort of consciously see me as just being filled and leaking out everywhere. Yeah, that really can help. Because sometimes people struggle, well, how do I seek God? You know, sometimes it just, well, there's all sorts of things you can do. Obviously, one way we seek God is to read the Word. You know, we read the Word, we study the Word. Often a very crucial thing to ask when you do that, though, is to say, what is this saying to me? It's not just a Bible study for knowledge, but what does this say to me? What is God wanting to say to me through this Word? Even when you hear a preacher speak like this right now, in our heads, we need to be asking the question, what is God saying to me today so that I can do something with this? Because the Word of God and being with God is like having seed planted in your life. And if you don't water the seed, if you just let it go dry, the seed actually will become dormant and not go anywhere. The great news is those seeds, wherever they've been sowed at any time, they're all still there. They're just dormant. They just need watering with the Spirit. And faith that was sown into you maybe even 50 years ago can begin to flourish. Obviously not you, Alex, because you're not quite that old yet, so it's unlikely it was sown into you 50 years ago. That, you know, at previous time in your life, that seed was sown and none of it's wasted. Even like you had prayer times where you think, oh, I prayed like this. I prayed every morning. I got up early and I put in an hour and it was so dry. Yeah, but it's still seed. Even if they became dry and boring, you were still sowing seed that when the Spirit waters it, there can be so much fruit. Prayer is never wasted. There's always seed being sown. So you can spend time reading the Word. That's a great way of asking that question. Everyone at the moment is asking, what out of what Paul has said today is God saying to me? What do I really need to take hold of? You know, maybe one thing, maybe two. If you're absolutely amazing, you might take three. But, you know, if you just took one thing and you stood on that bit of the Word and that bit changed, imagine if we did that every week, what power of God would start to flow through us. Because at the end of a year, you'd have done 52 different things that God had spoken to you about. Wow. And you can see there now, it just really begins to keep going. I'm really bold. Another thing you can do, I mean, another great thing, I like to just sit quietly sometimes, you know? And just, that's it, really. I sit quietly and let God speak. I don't try and make God speak, because then you can get into all sorts of trouble and hear all kinds of voices. But, you know, I think about God. Don't try and empty your mind out. That's a different thing altogether. We're not emptying our minds out. We want our minds to be full of God, you know? So you can start to think about the things of God, or you go, if it's at the end of the day or if it's at the beginning, you can think about the day before and think about what happened and where was God in that. And see God in everything that you've done and give thanks to God. And your faith will begin to lift. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about how God was in that. And then your faith is lifted for the next time you're in a similar situation. That's another way, just to seek God. You can sing. On your own, singing in tongues like we were doing earlier, or just praying in tongues. Great way just to experience and seek God. Sometimes you've just got no words, have you? You know, I really don't know what to pray. Well, that's exactly what the scripture says. We don't know what to pray. And we can use tongues, we can use groaning. Oh, Jesus. You know, that's actually prayer. Did you know that? Yeah? You can look that one up. Groanings in the Spirit. That's another whole chocolate box of things to open up in God in prayer. There's just so many ways to pray. You know, the Word is the crucial. We worship him in spirit and in truth. So we need to know that the Spirit of God's with us and that we're using the Word of God in what we're doing. Other people's books are great, but they don't... And you can learn stuff. I'm reading James Maloney's latest one at the moment, but that's not really going to take you into the presence of God as much as the Word is. It's going to teach you and encourage you and move you on, but you really need to read the Bible. I don't know what to read. Well, then just read through the Gospels. Or get a reading program. There's all sorts of ways. Talk to somebody else who you think might know what to do if you really don't know what to do. Adrian and Den here, they'll tell you about what they do. Or Brian and Shona, or me and Kate, just ask us. Well, what do you do? How do you seek God? Oh God, my God, earnestly. I'm putting effort into it. That's what it means. I'm making a deliberate choice that I've got to do this. Because who wants to just dry up in a desert? Especially when God's on the move. And it is especially when God's on the move, because when God's on the move, there are other demands come upon us, and we can actually be drained quicker because there's so many things happening. It actually becomes more important. And often a move of God, a revival even, peters out because people get so carried away on what God is doing, and it's marvelous, and it goes on for even a year or two. But what happens is people let go, because you're getting so much out of meetings, let go of this seeking God. Oh God, my God, earnestly I seek you. And that really is the summary of the message. Let's earnestly seek him. Like Jesus did here, in the midst of a revival healing movement, he gets time with God, he sets time with his Father, he seeks his Father, and so he says to the people that are saying, well, come on, let's stay here. And he says, no, I must go to the other towns. He's not distracted by the circumstances, but he hears the plan of God. Yeah? Are you getting something out of this? It's very, very quiet today, no leaping around, not even many jokes, I'm afraid, today, just a quiet message. I'm going to read that psalm again. Psalm 63, and see if you can get something out of it, even as I read it. Maybe there'll be a verse that jumps out of you, or jumps out to you, I should say. On Thursday night, I read this, and we just spent a lot of time just singing in tongues, really. And it's amazing how many people have said to me, oh, I've met powerfully with God Thursday night. Because we did this together. And I think for a little while, maybe for a season, that will be a lot of what we do on a Thursday night. We just seek God together. Seek his face. And in worshipping him. Probably lots of singing in tongues. If you don't sing in tongues, or you don't know how to pray in tongues, it's just the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we can help you there, because it's for everyone. Because the Holy Spirit's for everyone. It's some people feel they have a blockage. You don't have a blockage. Nobody has a blockage. Everybody has the gift. The only blockage is our mind. We're trying to rationalize it out. Here we go then. You ready? Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I will remember you. I will think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Hallelujah. The end of that psalm there are David's enemies are seeking him out to kill him. And part of the reason he's seeking God is because he needs the strength against the enemies that are out there. And as he worships God, his faith has risen that those who seek my life will be destroyed. And the final bit to add then. They will go down to the depths of the earth. It's quite violent. They will be given over to the sword, become food for the jackals. But the king will rejoice in God, and all who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. The liars, of course, our enemy is not flesh and blood, it's spiritual. And that spiritual enemy is active. It doesn't want a church moving into the promises that are there before us at the moment. So you will get lies. But as we praise God, that's what they'll be recognized as. There'll be lies, there'll be deception, there'll be trying to turn people against people, people not understanding why so-and-so acted like that and did that, and actually it's probably that you've misunderstood it, because the enemy's in there sort of like pumping up every fault he possibly can to make it worse and worse and worse. Because if you can get a bunch of people to fall out with one another, a whole move of God can be stopped. So we must be determined. Because sometimes we do fall out with one another quite genuinely, but we must be determined to be reconciled. We must be determined to forgive one another. We must be determined to seek God in all of this. You know, even if someone does something that we completely disagree with, we don't want it to become that it destroys fellowship. You know, we can walk together and love one another even when we have different opinions. Even a different understanding of the word, we can still walk together because we still believe Jesus Christ is Lord. We can be in one mind. One mind, it means one mind about the revelation of who Jesus is. It doesn't mean we have to agree on every single item, because we won't. So sometimes people get frightened of disagreement and think there's disunity. That's not disunity. Disunity is when people fall apart and gossip about one another and separate because they couldn't agree on something. So we have to seek God so that the lies are revealed, or they will take you down. It's an exciting time ahead, but we've got to be sober, wise. Yeah, this is awesome what God is doing. But I need a reality here. And the reality is, in everything that's going on, my first priority is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. To love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. To have an intimate relationship with God, with Jesus, must be my first priority. Because it's from that everything else will happen. Yeah? Praise God. We're all looking very serious. But actually, there's a little bit of seriousness. You maybe thought I was going to do a whoop-de-doop talk today about miracles, but I shared some miracles. Actually, this is the important thing. Let's go forward together. You know, and if there are people that struggle on the edge or people that fall off the edge, let's continue to love them and not judge them. And maybe they don't want to walk. Maybe some will say, I don't want to walk that way anymore. And that's okay. We can still love them and pray for a day maybe they'll come and catch up with us again. But what we mustn't do is not keep following Jesus. That's where we're going. This revelation, because there's a town, there's a region, there's a nation that needs to know Jesus. It's a dry and weary land. And that's my call. That's my purpose. That's what I'm here for. And I'm just going to discover everything that God wants me to do. Not get caught up in the good or even the bad, but discover what God wants. And like Jesus, that means I'll draw aside. So that when the crowds come in and say, this is what you've got to do, this is what you must do, I will know whether that's God or not. Because my heart will be a heart that's sold out for him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. The Lord's here. If you came seeking healing this morning, we're not having a specific healing service, but Jesus is here. He's in every one of us. And if you need healing, just come forward at the end and one of us will stand with you to see you healed in whatever it is that you came for. Okay, and we'll stand with you until you see the fullness of it. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.